This chapter 33 is a conversation. It is a back and forth dialogue where between Moses and God, really at a pivotal point in Israel's ministry, a point where God was detailing how they were to be set apart from the nations by their relationship to him. They were to keep his law and be holy, and he would be with them and be their God and provide for them. God has been speaking to here and revealing his commands to Moses on the mountain. Israel saw the mountain covered in fire and lightning, and they heard God's voice. They promised to serve him, and then Moses went up the mountain and was speaking with God for 40 days. You remember the story of the golden calf, and that is right before the chapter we're going to look at tonight. In chapter 32, Israel got together, and in unity they decided to rebel against God's self-revelation, which was happening on the mountain. Instead of waiting and keeping their promise to God's way, they made their own image, the golden calf, to worship as Yahweh. Chapter 32 here shows God's people unified in their rejection of the method that God had chosen to reveal himself. Before we get to chapter 33, in chapter 32, Moses has already interceded with Yahweh, with God, for the people. And God had said he would send his angel before them when they resumed their journey to Canaan. Then he struck the nation in judgment. At the beginning of chapter 33 here, things look dire. God is still meeting with Moses, still talking to him. But he has said in verse 3, I will not go up in your midst because you are an obstinate people and I might destroy you on the way. In verse 5, he says, say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now, therefore, put off your ornaments from you that I may know what I shall do with you. Then there's this incredible statement in verse 11. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. And tonight in the very next verses, we get to look in on a conversation between this God and this man, speaking with each other. God declares what he will do. Moses asks questions, makes requests, and God answers him so, so graciously. As encouraging as any elder Q&A might be, here we have a Q&A with the God who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them, and this servant that he favors. This conversation really gives us a window into the heart of Moses and into the heart of God. We get to see what this man Moses desired in his requests. And we get to see what God desires, what God's priorities are in his answers. Because of this, I think Exodus 33 and 34 here have been some of the most helpful, most encouraging passages to grow in me a desire to know God more, to know God better. My hope is that it will produce this in each of us. This is the passage that we started winter camp with this a month ago. So you get a little preview, a little view into what your children, your students heard. Let's pray, and then we will jump into these precious verses together. Lord God, we are so, so thankful that you have revealed yourself. Lord, that you have spoken so that we might know you. Lord, I pray that as we open your word together, as we see what you have said here, that you would grow in us a desire to know you better, to know you more and to be known by you, Lord. Lord, help us to love what you love. Help us to trust in you. And God, we pray that you would be honored in our hearts and in our lives as we leave here, Lord. May we seek you with the days that you give us, in Christ's name, amen. The priorities of knowing God and being known by him are on display here in Moses' three requests and God's three answers. That's what we're going to see tonight. There are three back and forths in chapter 33, and I've given you what looks like the not-so-short version of them in your outline as Q&As, a question and then an answer. Really, these are requests and answers. Since this is a longer passage this evening, we're going to read through each section of the passage one at a time as we get to it. First, let's read through verses 12 through 14, where we'll see Moses' first request and God's first answer. Look down at Exodus 33 in your own Bibles, starting in verse 12, and I'm going to be reading from the NASB tonight. God's word says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, to Yahweh, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people.' And he, God, said, 'My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Verse 13 here has Moses' first request. It's Q1 on your outline, and it's this: "Let me know your ways, and let me know you, and consider your people." Moses in verse 12 recounts his present situation. I am on your mission, God, and I am following your direction. But you just said that someone else, not you, but an angel, would go with us from here on out. And Moses here, I think, is remembering, it was you, not anyone else, that said, "I have known your name. You are the one who told me, 'Moses, you have found favor in my sight.'" This word favor here is a key word for the whole passage. It has to do with God's choice to show grace. Favor here has to do with God choosing to be pleased in his servant Moses. God has already made it clear that Moses was a recipient of God's grace, of his favor. And verse 13 says, this favor, this grace, is the basis of this request. When he says, "If I have found favor in your sight," that's the condition that needs to be met. The rest of his requests flow from that condition. If God doesn't show favor to Moses, they don't have this conversation to begin with, but then none of the other requests make sense. At the end of verse 13, we actually see that God's favor is the goal of these requests as well. Do you see that? It says, "So that I may find favor in your sight." Moses really desires, he needs favor in Yahweh's sight. He knows how important being pleasing in the sight of God has been in the past. It has been everything to him. And at the same time, we see in this verse that the favor Moses had received up to this point was not enough in his mind. God just said that Moses had found favor in his sight, and Moses wants to be even more pleasing to the Lord. Do we have as our highest ambition, whether at home or away, to be pleasing to the Lord? Is being pleasing to God what is most important in my life? What can I do to be more pleasing to the Lord? That's a question we should want to continue to ask in the days that God gives us. How does Moses seek to be pleasing to the Lord here? According to Moses right here, being pleasing is dependent upon knowing God. And knowing God is dependent upon knowing God's ways. Moses desired to know what is true about him, who God is, and he desired to know what is true about God's deeds and what God does. Moses wanted to know God's ways so that he could know God himself. So that Moses can be even more pleasing to him. He can find even more grace, even more favor with God. Moses' relationship with God started from a very young age. Hebrews 11 tells us that all of the things that we see him do at the beginning of this book of Exodus are tied to faith in God. But by this point, here by chapter 33, Moses has been hearing from God directly for a long time. Moses was about 80 when Yahweh God revealed himself in a burning bush. We won't turn there right now, but if you go back and look at Exodus 3, verses 10 and 11, that whole section, you can see in their very first discussion that the God who made everything, the one who is holy, 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 is so gracious to this man. Then God used him to deliver Israel from Egypt. This was not just a prophet boot camp at the mountain where he was ready to be thrown into whatever Pharaoh had to give. It wasn't a report back here once you've completed your mission. Even in chapter 3, verse 12, God says, "Certainly I will be with you," as he goes to Pharaoh. And he was with Moses. Moses is able to ask God what to do in real time, and God responds, "Now you shall see what I will do." And he tells Moses what Moses is to do, what Moses is to say. Moses got to see wonders done by God for Israel. Both incredible plagues and incredible provision. God brought them across the sea. He traveled before them. He guarded behind them. He provided for them. And now back at that same place where God first revealed himself to Moses, the same Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, he has been speaking to Moses directly, giving the law, making a covenant with Israel. God is actively speaking. When Moses has prayed, Yahweh has answered verbally, out loud, with understandable words. And Moses' responses, that Moses who's seen all of that, his response is, "I need to know you." He isn't content with the experience that he has had already, and he still desires to know Yahweh more. Shouldn't we have this sort of attitude as well? Should we be content with what we learned as a child in Sunday school? Do we think we've arrived and there isn't anything else for us to grow in? God is just greater than you or I know. Shouldn't we want to know God more and more? Moses knew God in a unique way, even compared to the other prophets. But that led him to desire God all the more. God is greater than you know him to be today. He is better than you understand him to be. So keep seeking him. Seek him today. Seek him tomorrow. Does God use truth that we've learned in years past? Does he use truth stored up in the mind of a believer to sustain him? Of course, all the time. God is so gracious to use what he has already taught us to help us in our walks, to sustain us in trials. And like Moses here, you and I should not be satisfied with only what we knew yesterday. only what we remembered we learned a long time ago. We have been given the living and active Word of God. That is amazing. And we can come before God every day. We can seek Him, and He is faithful to reveal Himself so that we may know Him. Moses, in the middle of speaking to God Himself, and as I think about that, just remember, this is just a chunk of what God has spoken to Moses that He wanted him to write down for our benefit. Moses was so close to God, and Moses still had this unsatisfied desire to know God more. God's favor today is a blessing. We should desire for the Lord to help us know His ways more so that we can know what will make us pleasing to Him tomorrow. Moses gave his first request, and God responds. He responds this way, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Look down at verse 14. "And he," God, "said, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." This is such an evidence of God's favor and His love for Moses. God's presence will go with Moses, and Moses is going to receive rest. Think about this for a moment. What is the best thing that God could possibly give? Is it pleasure? Moses had access to plenty of that in Egypt. Is it riches? This Moses grew up with those things in Pharaoh's household. Those are fleeting things, and those are things that Moses here had forsaken 40 years before this. The best thing that God could possibly give is Himself. And God says, "My presence shall go with you." Moses is going to continue to be in the presence of God Himself for all of his days. God is going to use Moses and give us the whole beginning of our Bibles through him. He is going to be with Moses through wilderness wanderings, and Moses will enter into God's rest. That is an incredibly gracious answer from the Lord, and it puts on display God's favor for his servant. And that leads to Moses' second request and God's second answer. Look back down and let's read verses 15 to 17 together. "Then he," Moses, "said to him, If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us? So that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." This second request is all about God's people. If you're taking notes in question two, I would underline the word "us." That is a key word in verses 15 and 16. Let your presence go with us. There is clarity in God's word here. Moses heard God clearly say, "You have found favor, and I will be with you. And you will enter my rest, Moses." But did you notice how God's first answer, which was full of favor, was all about Moses and did not include Israel? Moses heard that. That's what he recorded for us to hear. And Moses' second request here is really that God would set apart all of his people, by being with them. Let your presence go with us. What would set God's people apart? God's presence. What is the best God could give? It is himself. And what does Israel need most? They need God with them. Not God against them, not God distant from them. And Moses here is asking God to give his favor, not just to him, but to all of God's people. God's gracious favor would distinguish Israel from all of the other peoples. And how would the nation see that favor? By God himself being among them. Moses is saying, God, would you please go with us so that we, me and your people, may be different from all of the other people who are on the earth. And God hears Moses' request, and he gives his answer with another gracious proclamation. The second answer there on your outline is, I will do this because you have found favor and I have known you. In answer two, I would underline the word you in your outline. Look at verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. This is incredible. This is amazing favor from God to this servant Moses. God will be present with Israel. He will set them apart. Why? Because Moses has found favor in God's sight. And God has known Moses by name. I don't know about you. As I read this, I'm asking myself, Lord, what do I need to be that I could find favor in your sight like this? That you would say, I have known you by name, like a friend knows you. The God who made the heavens and the earth, he owes no one anything. But he says so graciously, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. We should pray that, like Moses, we would be humble and broken before the God of the word. At the heart level, that we would tremble at his words. Our prayer should be, Lord, I need you. Help me to think rightly about you so that I might be humble before you. It is incredible that God would show favor to any sinner. And he did, and he does. The God who sees all things, who knows all things, every sinful thought indeed is laid bare before him. This God chooses to show grace to sinners who trust in him. This is amazing. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to find your favor like this, to know your grace like this. That leads Moses to burst out into his third request in verse 18. Look down there. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. I like the ESV here. Please show me your glory. Will you please show me your glory? Glory here means weightiness or value. God, will you show me your immense worth? How extremely valuable you are. Moses here is overwhelmed by God's favor for him. God, the one who made everything and everything belongs to him. Everything is nothing in comparison with him. That God is glorious, Moses is saying here. God, I want to see, to understand better your glory. Moses has had a front row seat to the words and works of God. The cloud displaying the presence of God, the fire, the lightning, the earth shaking, that has all been done right here, close at hand. This is the man whose face will be radiant. It will need to be veiled after he speaks to God face to face. Moses understands God's glory. And over again, we get to see Moses' unsatisfied desire to know God more. Please show me your glory, he says. Man, that this should be infectious. We should want to know God like Moses knows him, like Moses wants to know him. We should think, God, I know that you are bigger and more glorious, more significant than I have seen you to be so far. Would you please reveal more of yourself to me? Would you please let me see how valuable you are? Show me your glory. Now, look at God's third answer and his third response here in verses 19 to 23. And he said, God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of Yahweh, of the Lord, before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock, and it will come about while my glory is passing by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. You may have noticed that up to this point, the space, Most of the talking has been done by Moses. Moses is pleading with the Lord, laying out his case, which is based on what God has already said. And God's responses have been so gracious, but comparably really short. In this third back and forth that flips, Moses responds to God's favor with this short outburst of worship-filled desire. Show me your glory. And then God's response to that request is longer. I've summed up this request for you in answer three. I will reveal myself, God says. In God's response here, really three things are tied together in verse 19. And then he explains some of the details in verses 20 to 23. In verse 19, God proclaims, I will reveal myself in these three ways, my goodness, my name, and my grace. I will reveal myself in these three ways, my goodness, my name, and my sovereign grace. Please, will you show me your glory? Moses says, and God replies, I myself will make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show compassion on whom I will show compassion. Goodness here, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. This is tov, it's just the basic word for good. It can mean the best things, beauty, blessing. This is good as opposed to bad. And I think as we read this, we should be thinking, who is good but God alone? The psalmist says, there is no one who does good, not even one. But Psalm 119, verse 68 says of God, you are good and you do good. God is only good. He is ever good. Sinful man. That is God's kindness is anger, wrath. This is the sort of thing Moses is about to hear that you cannot see head on. It says, my goodness will pass before you. And he says, you will hear me proclaim my name. I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you. This is a reminder to Moses that God is the great I am, the only uncreated one, the eternal one who has entered into a special covenant relationship with his people. He spoke to them. He revealed himself to them. He made promises tied to his own goodness, his own character, his own faithfulness. He is the self-existent, covenant-keeping God of Israel. That's what's tied up in this name. And he said, I will reveal myself in my goodness, my name, and in my sovereignly directed grace. Verse 19 ends with, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. God right here, he is going to hold himself to this, to his own standard. He will be gracious, and he will be compassionate based on his own initiative, his own good judgment. He will choose, and he will limit by his own good will. He will show grace. It is amazing that God would show favor to any. Moses here did not earn the favor of the Lord. God gave it to him graciously. Israel does not have what it needs to earn the favor of the Lord. But God will give undeserved grace to his people because he is gracious. He will show compassion because he is compassionate. Moses asks to see God's glory, and God's response is, I will reveal myself in these three ways: my goodness, my name, my grace. And then God gives some very specific details that are key if Moses is going to survive and see anything else after this. He said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Moses pleads for God to show him his glory. And God says here, this is how I'm going to reveal myself: goodness, name, grace. And then in verse 22, he clarifies, my glory, this thing that you have requested, will pass by you. God's revelation of himself in his goodness, his name, and his grace is tied to his glory here in Exodus 33. How valuable God is, how worthy he is tied to this revelation of himself. The best that God could give is himself, and he has given himself. We should want to know him like Moses did. And he has let his people know who he is. He's revealed himself and what he's done. He's even graciously entered into a relationship with his people, giving such undeserved grace. Fast forward real quick. Let's turn the page to Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. And I just really quickly here want to see how the Lord does reveal himself in these two verses. The Lord does reveal himself in verse 6. Then Yahweh, the Lord, passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord, Yahweh God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. The Lord, Yahweh God, reveals himself. This is not a messenger speaking here. This isn't a vision, but it is God himself speaking of himself. He passes by Moses and he proclaims this name. He reveals his goodness by explaining his grace and his justice. What is the name that God proclaims? He starts with that personal name we just talked about a minute ago, Yahweh, which most of our Bibles have as the capital L and then little caps, O-R-D. God's personal name here tells us he is the self-existent, covenant-keeping God of Israel. And then he repeats that same name and adds the title God, Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh, who is the only true God, the God who is over everything, is what that tells his people. Look at these attributes that God uses to describe himself. These truths about who God is are closely tied together, but they all reveal that God, as he is over all things, is gracious and just. He judges rightly, and he gives undeserved favor however he pleases. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness. That word loving kindness here is kind of like highlighted in the text. It's emphasized here two ways. One with the word abounding, and then the second time by just being repeated over and over again. The word loving kindness here, or steadfast love if you're reading the ESV, is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed, whenever it comes from God to men, means faithfulness, goodness, graciousness. You could say that this loving kindness here is God's goodness given in a gracious way to men. It is him showing saving and sustaining grace towards his people. It is loyal, steadfast, gracious love. And paired with this gracious, favorable goodness is God's good justice. Look down at verse 7 one more time. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God's goodness is on display here in giving grace, and his goodness is on display here in upholding justice, in judging sin and sinners. What is God's goodness? It is tied to who he is, and as God ruling over all, he is the just judge, and he is the justifying savior. He never judges wrongly, and the guilty will not go unpunished, and he will forgive and show mercy. How can that be? How could God be the just judge who will not let the guilty go unpunished? And he will forgive and show mercy. Ultimately, only because God himself would take the good, the right judgment for his people's evil, as Jesus, the Son, would be nailed to the cross, to die in their place. It's the passage we just heard about in Romans 5. That Christ would die for the ungodly, for sinners, in their place, to bear the wrath of God for them. God's goodness is tied to his good news, and he has chosen to save sinners, to save all who would trust in him as Lord and Savior. Praise God. His goodness is tied to his right judgment of all who do not believe. And his goodness is tied to his gracious saving of people who deserve his judgment. That's what we see in Exodus 34. You and I should hear this news, and we should humble ourselves before this mighty and this generous God. He is good. Who could find fault with his judgment? If he finds fault with me, he's right, not me. But that he would declare anyone right before him because of his own loving kindness, that is an incredible gift. That is undeserved favor. How did Moses respond here? Similarly to how we should respond here, verse 8 says, Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. And immediately Moses falls down and worships. These truths about God, God's goodness in his grace and in his justice, should lead us to worship as well. That is what all theology should produce. All true knowledge of who God is should produce humility in us. You and I should long to be like Moses in our humility before the Word of God. We should long to know God more and more. We should have an unquenchable desire to know him better. And then all real knowledge of him should lead to a life of worship, a life of bringing him glory, pursuing what is pleasing to him. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so, so thankful for your goodness. Lord, if all we knew of that goodness was judgment of sin, Lord, you would be right and good. And we are so, so thankful that you would show favor, show mercy and grace and compassion towards sinners like us. Lord, I do pray that you would humble our hearts before your word, before you. Lord, help us to desire to know you better, to grow in our pursuit of you, Lord, and I pray that we would be known by you, Lord. We are so thankful for your favor of sinners at the cross. Lord, help us to love your gospel more, and Lord, and help us to honor you as we live in light of it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and respond to God's word together in song.